Well, good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 a.m., and you are tuned into your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, Alaska. And joining me in the studio is John Straley, an Alaskan author who has just published a new novel, Cold Storage Alaska. The book release is coming up this Tuesday, and he's here to tell us a bit about it. Welcome to Morning Edition, John.
Good morning, Melissa.
Well, let's see. It's been quite a while since you last published a book. I think it was in 2008.
Yeah, it has been a while.
It's been a while. And what brought you back? 2008, the last book you published was
The Big Both Ways.
Mm-hmm. And also a compilation of poetry
that same year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you had a bit of a lag time. But apparently you fought to get this book, Cold Storage Alaska, published. What happened with that?
Well, I had written Cold Storage Alaska years and years ago. And before I wrote The Big Both Ways, actually. And I had an agent back then, and she shopped it around, and I shopped it around, meaning I sent it around to publishers. And back then, there wasn't much interest in it. The feedback I got from publishers was it wasn't violent enough. It didn't have a strong enough revenge ending where everybody gets shot up in the end, and it wasn't one of the reactions was, well, I don't see the big deal about this. This is just about a bunch of oddballs in this little Alaskan town, and that kind of disappointed me. So I put it in my drawer and wrote The Big Both Ways, which was a historical crime book, but at the end, sort of, you know, maybe a passive aggressive move, I had them end their journey. It was a sort of a journey book up the Inside Passage. I had them end their journey in Cold Storage, Alaska. The little girl and whose name is Annabelle. Who had the little cockatiel, who lost her cockatiel on that trip, and her anarchist aunt, and the sort of the goofball carpenter. They all end up in Cold Storage, Alaska. And then Cold Storage, Alaska, the novel, starts in the last a few years of the Clinton administration, with Annabelle as a older woman, and it's the story of her family, and it's more of a classic kind of screwball comedy with a crime element, but really nobody gets murdered in Cold Storage, Alaska, this new novel. And I sent it to Soho Press. It was the second time they had seen it, but it was years it had been years since they had seen it. And the way I had sent it was an odd kind of funny story, in that Soho Press sent me a check, for a royalty check, for my other books. I had published several other books with them. It was a whopping, I don't know, $300 or something. This was about 3 years ago. And I was writing poetry and writing reviews and working my day job. And I was kind of questioning the whole idea of publishing another book. Writing novels is a hard job, especially if you already have a hard job, which I do. I was thinking, well, you know, maybe I just won't write another novel. Maybe I'll just be happy. You know, just be happy doing what I do, write poetry and love my wife and just love my friends and just do that. But I got this check for $300 and I put it on my desk with all my other papers, and I lost it. I forgot about it. It just piled up, covered over in the drift of stuff. And then I got a phone call from the accountant bookkeeper at Soho Press, which is not a huge operation. And they called me and said, "Mr. Straley, you never cashed our check for $300. And I said, "Oh, jeepers, I'm sorry. I need that dough, too." I'll look, and I went through one of my semi-annual office cleanups at my office at home, and I found it, and I called him back, and I said, I found it, and I'm sorry, that'll never happen again. And he said, that's okay, we could have reissued it. But and then I started chatting with the bookkeeper, and he said, well, what are you doing these days? You know, you're still making us money, a little bit of money. And I said, well, I do have this book that I really like. And he said, well, you know, we have a new young editor here. She's really smart and she's really good. Why don't you send it to us? Which I like about small companies, you know, smaller companies like Soho Press, that the bookkeeper would make a recommendation to the editor. And he said, let me ask her. He called me back and said, yeah, why don't you just send it to this woman? And so I packaged it up. I didn't have an agent at the time. I still don't have an agent. And so I sent it to her, and she liked it. Just, you know, one of those oddball stories.
Perhaps it was Annabelle and her cocktail.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, want our voices heard.
Yeah. So anyway, so they published it. I mean, they're going to publish it next Tuesday, and I'm going to be reading it from it at the library.
Well, you know, it's garnered great reviews. But, you know, my favorite is by James Salis.
Salis, yeah.
Salis, author of Drive, and a word I won't say. Nearly every one of us, sooner or later, ends up in one of Straley's wise, wayward, wonderfully unhinged novels. And, you know, reading this novel, I couldn't help but draw connections with locations, towns I know in Alaska, and Alaskans who I know. And it just felt very comforting as an Alaskan to read.
Thank you. I hope so. I hope everyone in your listening, the Cold Storage, I got tired of trying to write books. I mean, all my other books are based on real places in southeastern Alaska. And I always made some mistakes. I remember going to Tenneke and getting, you know, people politely were very nice to me there, but they would rake me over the coals after the second day about, you know, that where you said where the boardwalk was in 1984 or whatever. Well, in 1984, the boardwalk didn't run where you said it ran, you know, because it hadn't been built yet. And I, you know, and they were right. I had gotten it wrong, that detail wrong. And I wanted to write in my own made-up universe for this whole series of books that are going to be the Cold Storage series. So I created my own little town, which is an amalgam of Tenneke and Pelican and Port Alexander, sort of my own little universe. In Cold Storage, you know it's not Pelican because he stops in Pelican on his way to Cold Storage. But I hope people will recognize elements of Pelican and Tenneke and Port Alexander. And we were talking earlier. I just stand in awe of the people of southeastern Alaska. I only moved here in 1977 with my wife, Jan. And I still just love the way this place shapes people. And, we have amazing intellectuals that roam the docks and the waterways and the bars and cafes, and not just intellectuals, but characters, roustabouts, fishermen, fisherwomen, I don't know. It's a great place to work and live. And my greatest goal is that people will recognize these great Alaskans in these pages, you know.
Well, you are certainly an author of place, and your love for this place really shines through in your description of the environment and your description of the characters. And you don't characterize. These are not caricatures. They are characters of great depth, which I think for non-Alaskans, you know, might be a bit of a surprise.
I hope so. I mean, I hope, you know, I hope so. I hope that people will read this and they think, well, that's funny and sad and interesting, and I didn't know that Alaska was like that. There's going to be a really nice review in the New York Times crime section coming out this Sunday, and she said, I got a sneak peek at it. She says, John Straley writes sweet crime novels about sad people. and you know, these people aren't just sad, but I think what I take from that is I have empathy for the problems of all my characters, you know, and I just can't bear to solve their problems by just blowing them all away at the end. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. And I've spent too long as a defense investigator to just solve the hero's problems by just killing everybody off at the end. Also, I worry about how, you know, who's going to do all that paperwork and who's going to pick up all that stuff, you know. And in a small town, if you just kill everybody off, who's going to be left to write the next chapter? So,
well, would you mind reading an excerpt?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'm just going to read a little bit from chapter two. There's two main characters in the book. There's a ton of characters that just walk through. And it's basically a screwball comedy. But in chapter two, it starts, the joke went like this. The doctor came into the waiting room and tells his patients, "I'm sorry, Mr. Smith, but I have some bad news. It appears you only have 15 minutes to live." And the horrified patient beseeches him, "Please, doctor, isn't there something you can do for me?" And the doctor looks around the waiting room at his watch and says, "Well, I suppose I could boil you an egg." The joke was everywhere on the boardwalk, and it seemed to Miles McCann that it had infected the residents of cold storage like a flu virus. He heard it everywhere, and he was beginning to wonder why. Maybe it was the darkness or the rain. Maybe it was the fact that almost everyone in cold storage was either clinically depressed or drunk most of the time. But they loved that joke, and Miles was beginning to take it personally.